Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Mets with a good win last night. DeGrom was sensational. Yankees lose, so I'm in a good mood this morning. I know all you Yankees, jerk. Yeah, you know, I don't like the Yankees. They lose, good for me. Jake Junis pitched well. Bullpen came in, pitched well. Herrera pitched well. Aaron Hicks had a good game. Stanton, a couple of infield hits. Torres with a hit. Not enough. Yankees just couldn't do damage. And look, they haven't played in 4 days. It's Kansas City. I was talking to Kenny about it yesterday on our show, Humpty Kenny Rothenberg with you, 10 a. to 1 p. every Monday to Friday. And he said, I expect to sweep the Royals. To sweep the, I mean, to the expectation. And this is just, to me, this is how sports fans get completely ahead of themselves. To expect to go on the road and sweep another baseball team, no matter how bad they are, to me, is just unfair. That is an unfair expectation that you put on the Yankees. So you lose last night. CC was certainly not great. You come back with Severino, then Sonny Gray, win the next two, get out of Dodge, you're fine. Didn't play well last night. I mean, CC didn't give you a great outing. Junis was good. Their bullpen was good. I mean, they are a professional baseball team. Even if they're going to win one, I mean, they've won what? One out of three games this year, right? They're 14-30, I think, now. All right, so if you win two out of three and they win the first game, you get out of Kansas City. Now, if you lose today or you lose tomorrow against Kansas City, you've had a miserable weekend. But one loss in three games on the road? And can we stop? By the way, today's Around the Diamond brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove. Can we stop? I've heard this all over the place. And it's, truthfully at this point, it's embarrassing and it's ignorant. Comparing this team to 98, this team is nothing like 98. 98 put out an ace every single game. You know, it's funny with these Yankee fans because you're 9-9 and the sky is falling. Then you win 18 of your next 21 and we're 98. So what are you? You're probably somewhere in the middle. This is an excellent baseball team, really an excellent baseball team. And you should be excited about this team. But to have this expectation that we're going to sweep through everybody is just unfair. And the truth is, your pitching is not at that level where you're going to just demolish everyone. I mean, CC Sabathia in a big spot in the postseason, I think you have confidence in him. But for him to make 30 starts a year, you're going to get starts like last night. And he wasn't horrible, but he certainly wasn't great. And the offense wasn't there. You haven't played in a while. They slept in an airport, for God's sakes, on Wednesday night. All right, so Yankees had a bad night last night. It's not the end of the world. Mets had a great night last night. DeGrom was sensational. Conforto actually hit a little bit, or a lot, four hits. And they come away with a win. But that's the recipe for the Mets. And the reason that you look at that and you say, yeah, but that's not that it's fool's gold, but it's unrealistic, is because how many starts are you going to get like that from Jacob DeGrom? I mean, for me, he's the best of what you got. I know people love Syndergaard, and Syndergaard is awesome. He's got great stuff, power stuff. He'll mow past you. But for me, DeGrom is, and I don't even think it's all that close right now. Clearly the best of these Mets starters. And he was great. And I think he had these reservations going into the game last night of what is Jacob DeGrom. Not because you're concerned about him emotionally or pitching-wise, but physically. You know, he had to leave the start two starts ago. Last start, he threw one inning of 45 pitches. So I guess the question to him after the game was, did you have any doubts at all coming into this game Friday night at Citi Field?
No, not really. I was just one inning, and it was just strange. I just didn't have a feel for it that day, and I wasn't able to figure it out. I've been fortunate enough to be able to figure it out most of the time, even if I don't get off to a great start, but that was just one I wasn't able to.
And what we saw last night was sensational from him, but that's what the Mets need, and that's why this is unsustainable. You're not going to get seven one-run innings from Jacob deGrom every single start, striking out 13. There's no margin for error. Even, I mean, the Mets actually hit the ball a little bit last night. Now, God knows what they'll do if they play tonight with Patrick Corbin on the mound for Arizona, who has been absolutely lights out. It's a name I think Yankee fans keep an eye on if Arizona falls out of things this year. But the Mets actually hit the ball last night. And even so, right? So, of course, the news, I don't know if you heard this, you probably did. I don't know if you did or not. Juan Legarreta is going to be out for the year. No, I saw it, and I was just like, wait, this can't be. Yeah, because they played that stupid game on Wednesday. I guess he dove, tore ligaments in his big toe. He'll undergo surgery, and he's out. But Conforto was 4-for-4 last night. Flores actually had a double, a run scored, an RBI. The Mets actually hit the ball a little bit last night. I guess that's out of Conforto, not really. So they had six hits, four of them by Michael Conforto. But you wanted Brandon Nimmo? Here you go. You're going to get a large dose of Brandon Nimmo. But it's unsustainable. And that's why, even though you're excited about the Mets last night, because DeGrom was awesome, and you should be excited about that, you can't go over the top because it's nearly impossible to think that you're going to get that all the time. And that's what they need. For the Mets to succeed, you need greatness from DeGrom, Syndergaard, plus all the time, which brought us to what we've been discussing in the Daily News stole from us yesterday. As a matter of fact, at what point, if at all, would you open up the phone lines and make the call and say, guys, DeGrom, Syndergaard available, make your best pitches, make your best offer. I wouldn't do it now. No reason to do it now. But by July 31st, July 1, if I know I'm not going to the playoffs, would I put out the bulletin of, all right, DeGrom, Syndergaard, they're available. You want to make an offer? Make an offer. Blow us away. If you're the Mets, you get blown away for those guys. You get three young prospects. You get one, you know, major league ready player and two big time prospects for DeGrom. You don't do it? Not now. No reason to do it now. You're still trying to win. You still, you know, it was funny. I was at a Little League game last night for my oldest, for Ben. Playoffs, and they lost 5-0. But I was at the game, I was talking to another dad, and he said, boy, the Mets, they are awful, aren't they? They're just the worst. I can't even believe. I said, you know, they're still, if they win this game, the two games over 500, right? Over he looked at me like I had three heads. He said, over 500? How is that possible? Because that is kind of what we have built the Mets to be now. They're awful. They're bad. They can't get out of their own way. They, you know, they're playing games they shouldn't play. They're putting lineups out there with Phillip Evans batting fifth. Guys are tearing ligaments in games they probably shouldn't be playing in. That we have, you know, resigned ourselves to the fact that the Mets stink, which they do. And they're still sitting here at two games over 500. So at some point soon, would I realistically consider trading anybody? Yes. Right now, you're still fighting. Whether you believe in them or not, they're still fighting. 800-919-3776. So we have a busy show. We have a royal wedding going on. I know Ty is really big on that. You know, the funny thing about the royal wedding, give me 20 seconds on this and I promise you no more, is you either love it or you hate it, right? There are people that are like, oh my God, she is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen and this is the greatest day ever. Or why is the royal wedding something that's popping up on my Twitter timeline? There is no in between. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get into this, Mark, to share a story. It's funny how he's turned to be the bad guy, right? Robinson Cano cheats, masks his, uses a masking agent to cover up whatever in the world stuff he's taking. And Mark Teixeira has turned into public enemy number one. So we'll get into that. We'll get into a little NBA. Stump Rothenberg at 11:15. We have a lot to get into. The Vegas Golden Knights, a team that didn't exist a year ago, is one win away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I got a take on why this is ridiculous. I actually agree with Gordon Damer. We'll get into that a little bit later. So a lot to do. 800-919-3776. Mets with a terrific, terrific win. Yankees with, look, you haven't played in days. Your starter wasn't very good. I think you just chalk it up to, it's a loss, just don't let that happen again this week.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Quickly, we'll get into that. I don't spend a ton of time on this whole Mark Teixeira thing. Look, Robinson Cano, and you can argue it all you want, Robinson Cano is, he's a cheater. He's been a terrific player. Let's analyze where we are. He has cheated. He's now been busted. You would have to be the most naive person in the world to believe that this is the first time that he just dabbled into PEDs. Right? So the assumption would be that he's been doing this for a long time. Mark Teixeira has known about it. And Mark Teixeira, when asked the pointed question of, does this surprise you, gave an honest answer. Now, my co-hosts, Monday to Friday, Humpty and Canty, think that Teixeira is a bad guy for coming out and saying, this doesn't surprise me. Are you surprised by Alex? No, I'm not surprised by this, which is what he said on the K show on Thursday in his normal spot at 5 o'clock. No, I'm not surprised by this. He's probably laughing internally. Surprised by this? We've all known this. We've known this forever. Like, Roger Clemens, would that surprise you? I mean, how naive are we? The only thing that bothers me, I don't even care about guys taking it. I really don't. The thing that bothers me, and we'll hear from Chris Canty on tape in a second, saying that Teixeira is a bad guy. The only thing that bothers me, and tell me if you agree with this or not, is that there are those guys using, which is, again, I don't care. If you want to risk your health when you're 60, 70 years old, that's up to you. But that there's the other faction, however small it may be, that's not using, that doesn't want to do it for whatever reason. So now what you have here is guys that are getting an advantage. And that to me is what's the crux of this and the most unfair part. So you hear Rick and Chris say all that. Well, you know, it's not like it makes you capable. You can't take me and I'm going to start hitting 395-foot home runs. So take that and throw it out of your mind. But what it does do is it means that a guy like Robinson Cano is going to be healthy every day. You look at the amount of games that he's played during the course of his career, 150, 157, 160, 155, like he never misses time. So to me, that's the crux of it. Do I care that McGuire and Sosa are hitting 66 and 73 and blah, blah, blah? No. But for the guys that won't take it, it's unfair. Like cycling? Everybody takes it. Who cares? Now, I think Lance Armstrong is a heel for what he did. Because he denied, I would never, ever actually wound up suing people who said that he didn't and printed stuff about him. But that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, in the sport of cycling, everybody does it. So to me, that's a more even playing field than baseball, than football, than any of these other sports. 800-919-3776. Let's take a listen to my co-host, Monday to Friday, 10-8-1, one of my two co-hosts, Chris Canty, discussing Mark Teixeira and what he did.
Well, I'm not saying that Cano is the good guy, certainly. I'm not excusing his behavior. I'm not trying to dismiss his actions and being caught for performance-enhancing drugs. What I'm saying is I thought that there was nothing to be gained by text coming out. And really, in a lot of people's eyes, lending credence to those that had suspicions of Cano's entire career. Now, he just tested positive this year, but we don't know definitively what he was doing before this positive test. We don't know if he was on PEDs while he was with the Yankees. We don't know that he was on PEDs when he first got to the Seattle Mariners. All we know is that there was a positive test this year based on something that he did this offseason down in the DR. And so for Teixeira to come out and say that he's not surprised by it, I just feel like he took an unnecessary shot at a teammate.
Yeah, and Rick agreed with him, and I was not nearly as strongly on their side. Like, I'm not that he did nothing wrong. And to come out and say, no, this doesn't surprise me. And then what I didn't like, honestly, of the whole statement from him was, no, I'm not surprised. By the way, I did nothing wrong. Look at me. I am clean. I am squeaky. I am perfect. That's what I didn't like. Now, you know, look, Cano, not surprised. Okay, leave it at that. Cano, oh, no, I'm not surprised by that. And by the way, me, look at me over here. Yeah, I did nothing wrong. I played my entire career and did nothing. If we're going to go by speculation, now here's the thing, and this is the funny thing. It depends how much you like a guy. And I know the Yankee fan, you know, becomes incensed by this. Guys, Andy Pettit cheated. And I know he says he did it one time. But Andy Pettit cheated. So the reason that that doesn't bother you is because you love Andy Pettit. It's because Andy Pettit's a great guy. It's because Andy Pettit's a likable guy. Alex Rodriguez cheated. Oh, my God. Right? It depends how much you like or dislike a guy, and that plays into the fact of where you are on this whole debate. But the Yankees have a lot of these guys now, right? Melky Cabrera. Robinson Cano. Andy Pettit. Alex Rodriguez. There's a certain pitcher who can't get into the Hall of Fame that I think most people would say used during the course of his career. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Bill in Queens. Bill, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it, Bill.
I guess two parts. I mean, I understand what you're saying about cheating. I mean, he broke the rules. But at the same time, and I think you guys discussed this yesterday, you still have to have an athletic ability to begin with.
Oh, Bill, no one is saying that Robbie Cano is not right. An amazing athlete aside from what he did. No one.
Right. And I think that in terms of text with his comment, like, that's, to me, that's like mind-blowing. Like, why? What purpose did that serve by him saying, yep, didn't surprise me? You, Dave Rothenberg, in your career, in your personal life, you don't know something about somebody that if you told that story, it would be damaging? I mean, you have to know, being in the sports industry, stories that you've heard or something that you've seen, it's unimportant. Texier absolutely should have said, I don't know anything about it. You know, what he did is his business.
But you can't judge what – I mean, he can say what he wants to say. And maybe to him it didn't matter. Maybe – look, he spent 5 years as his teammate, won a World Series together. Maybe doesn't like him. Maybe outing this guy is something that doesn't bother Mark Teixeira.
Right. There's a lot of people that I don't like, that I know stories about, that I just wouldn't tell because it serves no purpose.
And Bill, that's fine, and that's you. And there's nothing wrong with you saying I would take that stuff to the grave. Mark Teixeira on Thursday at 5:08 decided, you know what, I'm going to say that this does not surprise me. That's his decision.
Yeah. You
don't have to agree with it. It's a free country. You could say, I will never take note of what he says again. I can't stand Mark Teixeira. Right. If I meet him, I won't shake his hand. That's up to you. But it's also up to him to determine to come out and make a statement like that.
I just think in the sports world, and you listen to Chris and you listen to Rick talk about their experiences and the bond in the locker room, there has to be some type of honor there that, you know, some things that happen and some things you see and hear.
Yeah. That go to the grave with you. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, you know, that's how I feel, you know.
But here's the thing, Bill. What does Mark Teixeira do right now? Mark Teixeira is in the media for Major League Baseball. So he wears a different hat than he did 10 years ago.
It just seemed like he was very willing to say it. Like, he could have absolutely said, you know, I didn't really hear anything about that. You know, I know there's been rumors, but me personally, I don't know anything about it. But, like, he was so willing to be like, yep, doesn't surprise me.
What I didn't like about it, Bill, tell me your take. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. By the way, me, never.
Yeah.
No. I would never consider doing something like that.
I actually laughed to myself when I heard him say that because I said it would be hilarious if 5 years from now something came out on him and then you have to eat crow, you know?
Well, he wouldn't have to eat crow. It would be stuffed down his throat at this point.
Oh,
I mean, if you
absolutely.
Come out and you make mention of Cano, and then you go on this soapbox, and thanks for the call, Bill, and you say, no, never, never, never me, and then you get busted. I mean, you know, Lance Armstrong light. Joe in Staten Island. Joey, you're on 98.7.
I mean, listen, I think Teixeira is a turd. Discretion is the better part of valor, you know? And, you know, to quote Craig Kilborn from Old School, you're not going to tell, are you, Mitch? Because that's what girls do. You're not a girl, are you, Mitch? See you out there. Good game. And in regards to the Hall of Fame, if Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame, any steroid user that has the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame should be in the Hall of Fame as well.
Well, this is the age-old debate, and I mean, I don't. And thanks for the call, Joe. I don't want to open up Pandora's box and start going should be, shouldn't be, should be, shouldn't be. And the question to me is what Mark Teixeira did. Do you have an issue with that? Chris does. Rick does. I don't nearly as much as the two of them. But you know what? I wasn't an athlete who was in the locker room day after day after day. I'm the guy that has the microphone for a long time, and this is what I do. So I think it depends on where you come from to what opinion you have on this whole thing. You know, Michael, not a locker room guy. Donnie, not a locker room guy. They feel differently. Chris, locker room guy. Rick, locker room guy. They feel differently. It's fine. So it makes a horse race. Speaking of horse race, watch this, Ty. That's what my mother used to say. That's what makes a horse race, when people have differing opinions. But speaking of horse race, 5 o'clock today, right here, 98.7 ESPN, the second leg of the Triple Crown. The Pimlico. Right? I saw the weather there this morning. Guess what it's doing in Baltimore today? Pouring. Guess what it's doing here in New York? Pouring. The Mets Grand Cru is looking at it like, oh, this is nothing. Well, we'll take 80 bags of that, you know, whatever nonsense it is and throw it on the mound, and we'll let's play two. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get to your call. I know the phone lines are lit up. We'll get to your calls on the Mets and the Yankees. Ms. Teixeira comment. I guarantee that Mark Teixeira, upon spouting the words, doesn't surprise me, didn't realize what a maelstrom it would cause over the coming days.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You know the draft, by the way, is a month away. The draft is June 21st. Today's what, May 19th? We're a month and 2 days away. It's right. It's right here. It's going to sneak up on us. The names. We'll get into the 10 o'clock hour. Some of the names you'll hear about from the New York Knicks at 9. Let's go to James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7 ESPN. James?
Mr. Rothenberg. What's going on, Mr. Rothenberg?
How are you, James?
I'm good. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you're a Mets fan, I'm a Yankees fan, would you consider making that trade?
What trade are you talking about?
Either DeGrom or Syndergaard to the Yankees, and we'll give you and Duhar.
No. For me, and I know everyone thinks this is crazy, I'm not trading DeGrom or Syndergaard to the Yankees.
Come on.
I don't care. You know what? I'm not going to have the conversation. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. If another GM wants to take that job and trade your star players to the team cross town, have at it. You know, we act like the Yankees are the only team that has prospects in all of Major League Baseball. I'm not going to sit here day after day after day and watch the Yankees win and have them do it with my guy. He'll go to Boston. He'll go to Cleveland. They'll go to the Angels. I'm not doing it. If Sandy Alderson, who deems it necessary to do it, because, I mean, what a great job he's done up to this point, then that's up to Sandy Alderson. I wouldn't do it. Be sure to tune into the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN, every Thursday at 5 p.m. for the Mark Teixeira Report. You never know what he's going to say. Mark offers his take on everything baseball with Michael, Don, and Peter. The Mark Teixeira Report, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Dante in New Jersey. Dante, you're on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
Good. What's up, Dante?
Hey, quick question. Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher for L.A., pitcher and batter for L.A., I was thinking for a long time, like, is he more valuable than, let's say, like a Bryce Harper or like pretty much Bryce Harper? First of all, let's say if he...
I don't think so, because Bryce Harper is a star, and he's a better all-around player than Ohtani, and I don't even know what Ohtani's going to be eventually.
Right. Well, that's what I'm trying to project, but see, Bryce Harper doesn't pitch, and this guy, so far, he seems kind of legit. You know, I watched a few games. He seems like, you know, he has the stuff, and he bats, too. I'm saying, like, over the next 3 years, if he averages, let's say, 20 to 25 home runs,
right,
50 RBIs, and he bats, like, 285, and then he wins about 12 games. And then,
yeah, but I mean, how long do you realistically think that he's going to be pitching and hitting? I don't think that's going to be something that you're going to see year after year after year. I think eventually they're going to make him choose. Are you going to be a batter? Or are you going to be a pitcher?
And then another question is, do you think high school coaches and then college coaches are going to start looking for more players like him? Or you think the MLB is going to start integrating more players like this?
Because that's not what happens. Because at some point, Dante, they specialize you. And thanks for the phone call. At some point, you know, when you get to college, you're not batting fourth and starting the game on the mound. They put you into a role, and that's why you don't really see that. Because you're taken away from that in lower levels of baseball. You're an A-level pitcher. They're not batting you third, and you're coming into the seventh inning. No. It's one or the other. Which one is it? Now, there are guys that can hit. I mean, Bumgarner's a terrific hitter. CeCe Sabathia was an elite hitter. Remember when he went to Milwaukee? Carried them to the postseason. He was lethal. But you're not going to see more of that, no. Let's go to Larry in Westchester. Larry, you're on 98.7.
Dave, you're going to be the next Howard Cosell. The thing, you know, with steroids and everything, people say, oh, I'm shocked by this, ridiculous. Well, people also say, oh, it was out of the game. That was another one. It's out of the game. It's never been out of the game.
No.
The guys who got screwed are the ones who didn't use it, who didn't make the team, was the last cut or something on a major league level, college, Division I level, in the minor leagues, AAA. Those are the guys who really got it in the last.
Let me ask you a question, okay? You're on the precipice of becoming a major league baseball pitcher, and you're right there. And the guys that you're competing with are using it, and you know that, but you're not. Do you determine, you know what, let me join forces and I'm going to do it as well, or would you stand up and say, I will never do it?
I have one of the strongest competitive natures on the planet. I wouldn't use it. It would feel like, I'm not that only that I cheated, but I had to come in through the back door to get to the next level. No way. I'm a fiercely competitive individual.
Well, what happens if you don't make it because of that? I mean, if you're evenly matched against the other two guys you're competing with, and they're using it and you're not, they have a distinct advantage over you now.
Well, that's something that other people have to decide. I know I would not use it. I would not use drugs.
That's fair. I appreciate the phone call. 800-919-3776. And I like the conviction. But for every Larry in Westchester, there's probably 100 guys that say, I would probably do it. And it pains me to say it, but if my dream and my goal is to get into the major leagues, into the NFL, whatever it is, and this gives me a better chance and everyone else is doing it, it's not peer pressure. That's not what it is. It's the fact that I want to succeed and this gives me a better chance to succeed. And for every Larry in Westchester, there's probably 100 people like me who say, yeah, I would do it. I would do it. Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, you're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Look, if me and you were playing like a one-on-one basketball game or something like that, I wouldn't cheat. You know, cards, anything like that, I wouldn't cheat. But when it comes to money, then it's a whole different ball game. You know, I would use anything that I can use that would make me make more money for my family.
So you would do it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. 100%. I mean, like I said, if it was something simple, you know, playing a board game with your family or something like that, yeah, you don't cheat. But when it comes to paying for college and mortgage and stuff like that, you know, then I guess I would do it 100%. And one thing about you, I noticed you hate on another team more than you love your team. Because if trading with the Yankees can improve your team, then that's the deal you do. It doesn't matter.
No.
The Yankees,
the reason I detest the Yankees. But the reason that sounds true is because I would trade them somewhere else. It's not like I'm saying I wouldn't trade them. I would trade DeGrom and Syndergaard if the time is right and the offer is right to other teams. I'm just not helping that team.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Any idea what Prince Harry's last name is? There's probably one out of every like 250 people listening right now. It's like, oh yeah, I know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. But what do you get them? Like China? Here's a ladle. Hope you have a great time on your honeymoon, like going to your own private island. We've purchased you a cutlery. 800-919-3776. Let's get into the NBA. Both games on this weekend tonight. You have the Cavs and the Celtics, and LeBron begins his comeback in this series right here on 98.7. When was that game started? Let me look it up and tell you exactly what time that game started. 7:30 is pre or 7:30 tip? 7:30 pre right here. 8:30 tip. And then tomorrow night, 7 o'clock pre, 8 o'clock tip for Houston and Golden State. And I will say this, and we'll get to your other calls on everything else in the world of sports as well, but I will say this, that I give Cleveland and LeBron a substantially better chance to come back and win their series down 2-0 than I do Houston at 1-1 winning their series. I do not see, and look, I don't even like Golden State, but I do not see realistically a way that they don't win that series in 5, if not 6. They didn't play well in game 2. I thought Houston played their A-plus game in game 2. Houston played their game. That's their game. You heard D'Antoni say it. We don't need to, after game 1, we don't need to change our style. We don't need to do anything differently. We need to play our game. That's their game. That's what they do well. They go fast. You know, this isolation for 20 seconds in game 1 and then, you know, like it's a grenade, dish it off and let someone else make the mistake. That's not what they do. What they do and what they do effectively is they isolate. They get penetration, guy comes over and doubles, and then they kick it out to the open guy. And if that's P.J. Tucker and he knocks down shots, and so be it. Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, right? Whoever it is. And you saw they're secondary players because you have to figure that Harden and Paul need to play at a very high level every single game for them to win. But if they're going to get production, and Capella's a really good player too. But if they're going to win realistically, you need Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, that level of player to raise their game. And they did it in game 2, and they won easily in game 2. The question is, can they do it now on the road in Golden State? And to me, that answer is no. I don't think, and I'd love to be wrong. Realistically, I don't think that Golden State is going to lose at home. And if they don't lose at home now in this series, they don't lose the series. See, what I think a lot of people forget is, and this is not a knock on Houston. Houston's very good. I don't love the brand of basketball they play where they just ISO you and James Harden. And I don't trust James Harden in a big spot, to be honest. But Houston's game is excellent. What they're going up against right now, in my estimation, is one of the, and really, and this is not hyperbole. It's not like, oh God, 10:07 on a Saturday, Rothenberg's dropping bomb statements. I really believe this. They are going up against one of the elite teams we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. Now, I don't want to get into the debate of do they beat Michael in his prime in the early 90s? Do they beat the Celtics in the 80s? Do they beat the Lakers in the 80s? Do they beat the Knicks in the early 70s or the Celtics in the 50s? No, I'm not going there. I'm just saying for my money, this Golden State team is one of the great teams in the history of the NBA. They really are. They are the best shooting team. They're lights out from the perimeter. They play excellent defense. They have four guys that can beat you. Even more, I mean, there's a night that Nick Young can beat you. Not that I consider him to be one of these great players, but there is so much talent on that team. So, yes, I look at this as one of the great teams all time. So, it's not an if Houston goes 6, you know, we look back now and it's like, you know, Barkley could never get by Michael and Ewing could never get by Michael and Stockton and Malone could never get by and Sean Kemp and Gary Payton could never get by. Doesn't mean that those teams were bad. They weren't bad. Those teams were good. They were going up against one of the all-time great players and one of the all-time great teams. And this mindset that Michael was on an island doing everything all by himself is just foolish. I mean, at this stage of his career, where Michael was and where LeBron is, LeBron, and you could say it's LeBron's fault for playing GM and playing God and saying this is what I want, this is what I don't. But this team is garbage. You take LeBron off of that Cavs team, they're horrendous. They're unwatchable is what they are. You know what they are? They're the Knicks. Really? You got Tristan Thompson, who you don't know if you're going to get 14 points and 15 rebounds or 3 points or 3 rebounds from. J.R. Smith, who could give you, 9 of 11 or 1 of 15. Kevin Love, who's a superstar only, I think, in his own mind, of people that followed the NBA 5 years ago, not now. That's not a good team. You take LeBron off that team, they are the Knicks. 800-919-3776. 7-6. So right now, here's the question. And Ty, since you're NBA crazed, which is a little unsettling the way you're in love with this league.
Dump Rothenberg, I got NBA questions for you.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you have what free throw was missed in some nonsensical game for Stump Rothenberg. But I'm gonna ask you this. Gun to your head right now. Do you believe better chance that Cleveland wins this series or loses this series?
I say better chance that they lose the series.
But you're not ultimately confident in that response.
No, but that has more to do with the Celtics than it does the Cavs.
You do agree with me that the Cavs have a far superior chance to get to the NBA Finals than the Rockets right now.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
As we sit right now, there's a team that's down 0-2 that we believe has a monumentally better chance of getting to the NBA Finals than the team that's 1-1 that had the best record in the NBA.
But in both,
chew on that for a second.
In both cases, it has to do with the opponent.
Of course it does.
It's your lack of trust in a young Celtics team. Because the Cavs do have to win 4 of the next 5 games to win the series.
Do you think they win tonight?
I do think they win tonight.
Do you think they win game 4?
No, I think they lose game 4 and game 5.
So you think they're going to get bounced in 5?
Right now, I believe this series will end in 5 games.
Okay. See, I think that they will win this in 7. And the reason is, I am in that level of a moment, I'm not going against LeBron James. That's all it is. That's all it is. 800-919-3776. Eric is on 98.7. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I have a question, and I'm going to hang up, but I love you guys, you and Humpty Candy in the morning. But
Yeah, it's okay.
Just ask a question about why does it seem like, from my opinion, that KD, Kevin Durant, gets a pass and LeBron gets so much criticism?
I think that LeBron is held in a much higher regard than Kevin Durant. I think that people look at LeBron and think he's at the level of any great you've ever seen. And I don't think that the number two guy in the NBA is anywhere near that right now.
Okay. But
I think we hold LeBron. I mean, you hold the best to higher standards than the lesser player, don't you?
Yeah, well, like you said, like Shakespeare said, the uneasy wears the crown. He wears the crown, I guess.
He wears the crown. And you know what else? He is a lightning rod. Durant is not nearly the same as LeBron James. And also, the reason right now, Erica, thanks for the phone call, LeBron is not winning. You know, he's winning up to an extent. When this is all said and done, Durant is going to win again. Durant is going to be an NBA champion again. And LeBron is probably not going to. And I think it is asinine, but you have a lot of people that solely, and this is the problem, a lot of people that look at rings. Well, how many rings did he have? But Marino never won a ring, and this, and Trent Dilfer won a ring, and this guy never won a ring, and this guy won a ring, and this, Aaron Rodgers, not Tom Brady. Why? Because Tom Brady has lots of rings, and Aaron Rodgers only has a ring. But LeBron, he's lost so many times in the finals. Like, that's a knock. The fact that the guy has gone to, what, 7 consecutive NBA finals? And he's lost some? And he's bad? Look, you want to knock him for the one they lost, Miami, against Dallas? Fair. Other than that, what are you knocking him for? Well, this is what I never understood. What are the knocks on LeBron James? What are they? He doesn't want. He doesn't beat a team that he can't beat. You're right. And Michael Jordan people didn't beat teams that he couldn't beat either. It took Michael a long time to win. I don't ever remember Michael winning a series that they were distinctly underdogs in. That's what you're asking LeBron to do. He gets to the finals, and I hate that this. I really don't like it that it always turns out to a LeBron Michael, who's better, who did this, who did that. But I think that's the guy that we most easily compare him to. Because it's recent, because of the skill set, because of the dominance. Michael did things we'll never see. Michael is great, but so is LeBron. And for some reason, and this is what I never understood. Why is it that every time Michael did anything, we found a way to pump it up. Well, Michael did this, and Michael did that, and Michael. And when LeBron does things, we look to bring him down. Like, we still look to make excuses for Michael Jordan. And we still look to bring LeBron down every single chance we get. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get to all of your calls, I promise. Continue with the NBA for a little bit. Mark Kestisher joining us, the voice of the Western Conference Finals, right at 11 o'clock. We'll do Stump Rothenberg at 11:15. It's a rainy morning, so can I give you a suggestion? You turn, there must be still royal wedding coverage going on, right? So you turn that on the TV and you watch the pomp and the circumstance, but you bring the volume down. You turn the radio up or your iPhone or iPad up. You listen to me. You watch the rain trickle down outside. It's a cup of coffee, a little blanket on. It's the perfect morning.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Now, Stump Rothenberg is brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. 800-919-3776. Ty and Michelle on the other side of the glass are playing, and you're playing at home as well. The home version of Stump Rothenberg. 800-919-3776. Now, Ty, all morning has been, I got the best questions, Dave. I am ready. I'm prepared. I got great questions. Ty, I hope it's great. You're up.
All right. So, do got to start with a question courtesy of Andrew, one of the sponsor of this segment.
Okay.
He called in earlier this morning. He says Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw have won 5 of the last 7 National League Cy Young Awards. Who won the other 2?
NL Cy Young. So Lincecum won back to back, Roy Halladay, but I don't know if that's in the last 7. Well, Arrieta won for the Cubs. And then is Dickey in the last 7? He won the Cy Young. He's 20-6 for the Mets in 12, right?
You're correct.
Yeah.
Ari Dickey and Jake Arrieta.
And then before that was, I think, Halladay.
Now you're just showing off, though.
I'm talking. And then Lincecum. So there you go. That's what we do. Good start, everyone. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're up on Stump Rothenberg.
Aaron, Dave, name the 4 guys from the Fierce and Foursome and what big secret one of them has. They also play other sports, I believe.
Wait.
Fill me in, buddy.
What do you mean, what secret that one of them has?
One of them has a secret. But I don't understand.
Rosie Greer.
Rosie Greer. He knows something.
Rosie Greer was involved, I think, in the murder I'm right, right?
Nicole Simpson.
Of what?
Yeah, Nicole Simpson. He spoke to.
I didn't know that. I thought Rosie Greer was there when Lee Harvey Oswald was murdered. But the answer is Lamar Lundy, Merlin Olsen, Deacon Jones, and Rosie Greer, who in fact was acquired from the New York Football Giants via trade. All right, that's 2-0. We're rolling along here, Stump Rothenberg. Let's go to Chris and Beth Page. Chris, you're up on Stump.
It was Robert Kennedy murder, not the Lee Harvey Oswald murder.
Okay, all right, but still,
I'm sorry, Dave.
That's okay.
All right. Listen, Dave, music, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, those 4 decades, who had the most number one hits? Which artists? If you name 3 out of 4, you got the question right.
Wait, so I'm looking for number one hits in each separate decade?
Yeah, which group or individual artists had the most number one hits in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, and the 90s? All 4, obviously, all-time legendary groups or individuals.
I'll say the Beatles.
That's right. That's one number one.
I'll say Michael Jackson.
Very good. He's the 80s.
Um, I don't know. I was going to...
I could give you a hint for the seven.
No, I don't want a hint. I don't want a hint. All right. Cher?
No.
So what did I got? I got the 60s and the 80s?
Yeah, you got 60s and 80s.
So I got to go 70s. I'm going to say Led Zeppelin.
No, no.
I don't know now.
Think disco music.
Oh, God. Diana Ross?
No.
I don't know. I give up.
Bee Gees is 70s, and Mariah Carey was the 90s.
All right, fair enough. Two out of four. I mean, I guess technically it's not right, but it's we're right there. We're right there to be right. Raul in Manhattan. Raul, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you?
You have the nicest voice I've ever heard.
Thank you. Likewise. Well, yeah, you have a face for radio, as they say.
Oh, you're a nice man. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to give you an easy one.
Uh-huh.
Name the only player.
You know what? I don't like. You say it's an easy one, and then if I get it wrong, now I look foolish.
It's in your primary interest. You'll see. Name the only player who won two Super Bowls with the Giants and Parcells, but then single-handedly took the Jets to the playoffs in the early 90s. This is a walk in the park for you.
I mean, Pepper Johnson won two Super Bowls.
Correct, but that's not the answer.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Mo Carthon won two Super Bowls, but that's not the
answer. See, I think that's what, yeah, because the tricky part is you're thinking of when Parcells came to the Jets, and that's actually not the case. This is good.
I'm confused by your question.
Okay. He played on and won two Super Bowls with the Giants.
Right.
And then he also took the Jets into the playoffs the next year. So he played for the Jets in the 90s, and he took them to the playoffs as well. But he also won
under Parcells or no?
No. Like I said, that's open-ended.
I'm confused. I don't understand. Ty, do you understand this question? Yeah. Let me bring in the arbitrator here. Ty, do you understand the question?
Right. I think the question needs to be rephrased in a way that we can all understand.
So you don't understand it either, right? This is not just me that's struggling with this question.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on.
Try to understand what's going on.
Yeah, I think that the Parcells was meant to be a hint, and I'm saying it was not under Parcells when Parcells was...
So just start again. What's the question?
All right. What player won two Super Bowls with the New York Giants and also took the Jets into the playoffs in the 90s.
Took the Jets into the playoffs in the 90s? I don't know.
His play actually propelled them into the playoffs. It's Raul Allegri.
Oh, all right. And because his name was Raul, he asked the Raul. It was a confusing question. I don't know what Parcells had to do with it. Cliff in Massapequa, get us back on track, Cliff.
Hello, Dave. The hockey question.
All right.
The only team to win a Stanley Cup on Montreal ice.
The Detroit Red Wings.
No, incorrect. The Calgary Flames.
That's a good question. And that would be in 88. Is he still there? No, he's not there. That's 89. No, I don't know. In the 80s. 87? No, I don't remember. All right, Rob in Manhattan. You're up, Rob.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Okay. This is a TV question from the 1960s. There was a TV series entitled The Wild Wild West, very iconic series. It had perhaps one of the most iconic villains ever dreamed of. He appeared 10 times in the series. I want to know the villain's name, the actor who played him, and what was unusual about that actor.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know the series, The Wild Wild West.
So okay, to me, the Wild
I'm
Wild
not
West
waste
starred,
anybody's time.
The Wild what? Wild West starred Robert Conrad as James West working for the Secret Service. The villain's name was Dr. Miguelito Lovelace. The actor who played him was Michael Dunn, and Michael Dunn was a midget.
You can't call him that anymore. They are
okay,
little.
Okay, he was diminutive.
People, all right. 800-919-3776. Ty, save me with some NBA, would you?
I don't have an NBA question, but I do have a Prince Harry question.
Oh,
so growing up, what sports did he excel in? Two sports. He was really good in these two sports. What were they?
I'm gonna say rugby. I'm not going to get anything there. And polo. See what I did there?
Very impressive.
Uh-huh.
And you told me during break that you were going to get these right, because I said I had some good ones.
And look at me. I'm 2-0 against you, right? Noel in Union City. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Noel.
Not looking too good, Dave. Let's see if we can
get
that.
What do you mean not? I'm fine. I think I'm 3-3.
Who holds the record for most rushing yards in a Super Bowl?
Is this an individual Super Bowl?
No, like he just had the record for most rushing.
Franco Harris.
Who?
Franco Harris.
Incorrect.
This is a career?
Who holds the record for most rushing yards in a Super Bowl?
Which I said, one Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, one Super Bowl.
Timmy Smith.
Correct.
That was an awful Super Bowl when the Redskins beat the Broncos in 1987. All right, let's go to Dion in Queens. Dion, you're up.
Hello, Dave. It's an NFL TV question.
Mm-hmm.
Which Cowboys quarterback from the 60s?
Don Meredith.
Yeah, excellent. I love it, Dave.
Question. I don't need it. I mean, don't you understand, Michelle, what's happening here? The knowledge that I have oozes out. I can't wait for questions to finish. It erupts from me. A tremendous amount of knowledge. Michelle, you have a question?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Dave.
I'll try and be nice and let you finish.
Let me finish the question.
Before I give you the answer.
Okay, so tell me, who was the first solo female host of the Oscars?
First solo female host of the Oscars. That's a good question. I'm not going to use the Google. First solo female host of the Oscars. See, I don't even the only one I even remember is Whoopi Goldberg.
That would be correct.
That's almost like process of elimination, because I don't even remember anybody but Whoopi.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg. Right.
Is there anybody else but her, or is she the only one?
She was the first. I don't know if she's the only one, but she was the first.
I don't know anybody besides her. All right, now we're rolling. Well, let's go to Charlie in Queens. Charlie, you're up on Stump Rothenberg.
Yes, here's a baseball question.
Okay.
Who was the first Yankee to hit a home run in the new stadium in 2009?
I don't know. I will guess Mark Teixeira.
Nope, Jorge Posada.
Okay, there you go. Spike, nobody loves a segment like Spike. Spike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, and you're correct about that. In the history of the Emmys, there's only been one actor that has a perfect record. Been nominated 5 times and won it every time. Who is it?
Wait, Emmys?
Emmys.
Five of them for best actor?
Perfect game, yeah. 5 for 5 in the Emmys. Best supporting actor in a comedy, I'll give you a hint.
I was going to say Carol O'Connor.
Greg up, he starred on 2 different shows.
2 different shows.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Tim Conway.
Good try. Don Knotts.
Oh, Don Knotts from Three's Company. And I don't know what the other show he was on. But Don Knotts was sensational. Might have been Andy Griffith, right? Might have been the other show. All right, let's go to Greg in Jersey City. Greg, you're up on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing? This is an MLB stadium question. Most people know that Fenway and Wrigley are the 2 oldest stadiums. Mm-hmm. What are the 3rd, 4th, and 5th oldest stadiums?
Because they're all new now.
I know, that's kind of represents a different generation.
I'm going to say Dodger Stadium is probably
that's
on
number
there.
3.
Yeah,
that's number 3.
They've been around forever. I don't even know what the name of it is, but where the Oakland A's play?
That's number 5.
Angels Stadium?
That's number 4. Well done.
So I got it. That's what we do. And on that note, Ty, we're going to call it an episode of Stump Rothenberg. I was, let's be fair, nothing short of sensational today.
That was a Luis Severino-like performance.
Yeah, thank you. He will be on the mound this evening for the New York Yankees as well.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.